Just remain standing. Grab your Bible. Go to Psalm 119. And we're going to read 8 verses real quick together, then let you be seated. If you need to go ahead and be seated, you do what you need to do. But I want to read these verses this evening, if the Lord to help us get right into this. And I'm not going to try to preach all of this. I'll barely get to the thought. That don't mean I don't have some things to give to you tonight, but we'll get to the thought, and then maybe next Wednesday we'll pick up, work our way through the verses as we lay this out to you tonight. It's been a little while since we've been in Psalm 119. You understand that we're studying this passage, great passage of the Word of God, about the greatness of the Word of God. And the Word of God is wonderful, and the Word of God is so vital and so important in our life. And we are kind of dealing with this in an unusual way. I don't know, maybe other than I remember growing up, my dad kind of hitting on some of this a little bit in his studies. I've called and asked him about it, and he's actually never preached through the whole psalm like we intend on doing. He's never made it all the way through, but I intend to make it all the way through unless Jesus comes back. But we're looking at the Hebrew alphabet, as this text is about the Word of God. And each of these Hebrew letters bearing a symbol or a meaning to the Hebrew people. And we're taking that symbol and showing how it portrays truths about God's Word. Tonight we're in the third section. It begins in verse 17. If you have a study Bible, it should say, above this section, the Hebrew letter Gimel. Gimel. Gimel, we see tonight, literally symbolizes or would mean camel, a camel. And so we're going to look at that this evening. But let's read our verses where the psalmist said, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." And my counselors. All right, you can be seated this evening. Let's pray one more time. We ask the Lord to open our eyes as we just read the prayer of the psalmist in this text. And he said, "Lord, I need you to open my eyes so that I can behold wondrous things out of thy law." And we need the Lord to do that for us this evening. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we do humbly bow to pray tonight. Lord, in his name, by his blood, Lord, in everything that he's done for us in the gospel and for the gospel's sake, Lord, we know that in and of ourselves dwelleth no good thing. There's no merit that we can bring before you, Lord, to earn an audience with you, to gain the listening ear of our God. And so we pray for Jesus' sake that you'd hear our prayer, Lord, this evening. I ask you, Lord, to meet every need that's in the building tonight. Lord, it may be in the lives of these that are here. Maybe it's in the heart of these that are here for somebody else in another place. And Lord, I'm asking you this evening that you would, Lord, reach down in this place and beyond and do wonderful things, do miraculous things, and meet the needs of this very hour in the lives, Lord, of these that are here. We ask you tonight, as we've read this text and approach it, Lord, tonight in the way that you give it to us, Lord, as we try to magnify the Word of God, Lord, in this emblem, this symbol, this picture and typology tonight, I pray that it would be ministering to our heart, and that, Lord, our relationship to the Word of God would grow and be everything, Lord, that you'd have it to be in our life. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen and amen. Each of these section of eight verses that are contained in Psalm 119 began with or headed by, and then every line of those eight verses will begin, if you saw it in the Hebrew, with that particular corresponding Hebrew letter. And so it's an alphabetical acrostic psalm that is used to aid the Hebrews in their memorization and in their study of the Word of God concerning this text. For instance, in the opening eight verses, we've seen Aleph, meaning ox. The Word of God is like an ox. And a lot of things we talked about, one of the things was the Word of God, it'll pull you through. When you get in a jam, when you get mired up, when you feel like you can't pull the load, you can yoke your life to the Word of God, and it will help you along the way. And then we sing the second letter found in the second section of eight verses. It is the Hebrew letter Beth. Beth meaning house. And we talked about the Word of God being a place we can dwell in and being something that we can build our lives in. And we preached a message on don't wander too far from the house, and how we need to keep our lives close to the Word of God, building it there, living in the Word of God, living by the Word of God, and not wandering. And that's what David prayed about in those eight verses. Tonight, this third letter of the Hebrew alphabet is symbolized by a camel. In fact, it's the Hebrew letter Gamel or Gimel. Maybe would be how we would say it, but it literally is symbolized and bears the emblem and the meaning of a camel. And what an interesting way to look at the Word of God. I've heard messages, in fact, Brother Pace and other men of God that I've heard have preached on camels before. And Brother Pace had a classic message he preached all across the country for years on the camels are coming. And he talked about the grace of God being symbolized in a camel, and preached that. We'll get to the very text that he dealt with here in just a little while, or we'll at least reference that. And camels have been likened as grace. But tonight I want you to consider the ways in which the camel is a picture of God's Word. And that's not contradicting to it, Brother Larry, being a picture of grace. I don't know that you could find a greater manifestation of the grace of God than the fact that He gave us His Word. This is one of the common graces that God has given to all mankind, that is His inspired, preserved, and written Word of God. And so tonight, consider the camel. I'll give you my thought in the end of this section, and I'll reference just a few things tonight out of the text, and we'll preach through it on next Wednesday night if the Lord will be our helper. The camel is a picture of God's Word. Consider with me tonight that the camel, it is a packing creature. It is a packing creature. This is a massive land creature, a mammal. And it has the ability and the strength and the vitality so that it can carry heavy loads over long distances. I looked up in my study, just doing some general study on camels. You said, I thought you was a preacher. Well, being a preacher, you get to study all sorts of things. Hey, man, you get to study about the universe and the trees. We talk about roots on Sunday. And we talked about all sorts of things in preaching, the sun and the moon and the stars and all these things that reflect God and spiritual truth. But this evening we consider the camel is a packing creature. It carries heavy loads over long distances. The Britannica Online Encyclopedia said that a camel, just an average-sized camel, can carry as much as 440 pounds over 31 miles in a single day. And I thought about it being a packing creature, something that it can bear up under the load. No matter what you put on it, it just bears those loads over long distances. And I think about the Word of God tonight in light of it being a picture of this camel, that the Word of God is a source that we can go to, and we can throw our burdens down upon the Word of God, and we can cast our cares into what it is and its ability to sustain over the duration of the journey, and to pack our burdens and strengthen you and I in our journeys. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but the fact of the matter is tonight, when we think of the camel being a packing creature, it reminds us of the Word of God. You know, the Word of God's been around a long time, and it's been bearing up truth and bearing, my friend, and lifting up and enduring over many, many seasons of human history now, bearing the truth of God and what God wants us to know. And glad this evening the Word of God is a camel. Amen. It carries this heavy load of truth over a long distance of time. I think about the camel. It's not only a packing creature, but I found in my studies, maybe I could word it this way, the camel is a providing creature. When you think about a camel and you began to study them and their importance to men and what they provide, now we don't have camels in America. They say we used to. I will tell you what Britannica said. They're kind of crazy. They said about 25 million years ago, and there were camels in North America. Amen. Them people smoked too much dope when they wrote that. Amen. But evidently, they say that camels one time lived in North America. And so we think about that. We're not accustomed to that in our day. About the closest thing we have in America, and they're actually imported, to a camel would be a llama. And you can see them if you ride out into Bybee. There's a whole herd of them over there behind the fence. And that's about the closest thing we have to a camel. But when you study about how they use these camels, what they provide, you'll find that Britannica said that camels offer their milk and meat for food. I thought about what the Bible says about itself, declarations about the Word of God. We're told that when we're newly born in the family of God, that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And that in doing so, we grow thereby to the place that Paul would write in Hebrews 5 and 6 about going on into maturity so that we could handle the meat of the Word of God. And I think about the milk and the meat and the Word of God being a picture of this providing creature of the camel that gives us milk and meat as food for our spiritual lives. They said that it provides not only milk and meat for food, but that the camel provides in these cultures where they thrive and where they live. Its hair is as being used for shelter and clothing. My mind immediately went to the New Testament, to John the Baptist. Do you remember in the description of John the Baptist that it said that when he came on the scene, what was he wearing? He had a leathern girdle, and that he was clothed in camel's hair. His coat was made of camel's hair. And so we find that the Word of God, amen, it gives us shelter through every season and every storm. It clothes us and shelters us away from the elements of the world. Can you imagine what your life would look like and what your life would be tonight were it not for the Word of God providing you such basic things as spiritual garments and spiritual shelter from the storms of the desert? We think tonight, number three, that a camel is not only a packing and providing creature, but the camel, it is a persevering creature. It's a persevering creature. In fact, when you study a camel, you'll find that in times of catastrophic drought, herdsmen have been known to lose all their cattle, all their sheep,
and all their goats. And yet at the same time, their camels survive those dry and barren times. And they said, one of the articles I read said that a camel can actually, if it's not being worked too hard, can actually live up to 10 months without anything to eat or drink. And you think about that, what a persevering creature. And it's not held to the same degree of the elements and dependent on everything being just right and okay in its environment to survive, like the cattle and sheep and goats would do. I thought about the Word of God. It's a persevering book tonight. That my friend, when all the philosophies of mankind and all their religions and all the ways and things that men count on and depend on, how that through the years they come and they go, they rise and they fall, they live a little while, then they die out. And yet tonight we understand that the Word of God is not, it is not confined to these things like man-made ideas and religions and philosophies are. Here's what Jesus said about the Word of God. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said, the grass withereth and the flower thereof fadeth away. And he said, my word, God's word, endures forever. This evening we think about the Word of God tonight. And it is an eternal book. And men have rose up and there have been dictators and human leaders that have despised it to the point they thought they would rid the world of God's blessed book. Tonight, the Word of God is still in our hands. It's still in our lives. It can still be found. It's, my friend, abundant in America. And my friend, it's being smuggled into nations and have banned it and even imprisoned people for holding it in their possession. And yet the Word of God prevails tonight. Why? Because it's like a camel. It is a persevering book. You may reject it. You may close it and never open it again. The Word of God will still be, my friend, enduring through time and eternity. Here's what the psalmist David said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is a forever book. And when we think about the Word of God tonight, why would we want to build our lives and count on man-made ideas and others' opinions, and may I say our own opinions, to get us through this journey of life? And we've got something that has absolutely stood the test of time. It helped Moses make it through, and it helped Abraham make it through. And when David lived by it, it was a source of sustaining him in his life. And then we go to the New Testament and the disciples and apostles in the early church, how they built their lives upon it and even were slain and martyred just for believing that book. And yet that book never let them down. And you and I tonight, we have the same book and the same doctrine and the same truth to build our lives upon, that it has endured to every generation. That's what David had in mind when he said in the Psalms, that the truth of the Lord endures to every generation. It hasn't waned in truth. It hasn't waned in life. It hasn't waned in power. It's not been diminished to any degree. And when heaven and earth, my friend, are shaken and crumbled and the stars fall out of their sky, you'll be able to open up that blessed book and stand on it and build your life on it and trust it as being a word from God. Why? Because it's a persevering book. Thank God tonight for this camel of the Word of God. Amen. It is a packing creature and a providing creature. It's a persevering creature. I thought about wording this way. Number four, that the camel is a priceless creature. And now again, this should be hard for you and I to grasp in a in a very direct way or a very personal way to you and I. And so we'll have to kind of lean in upon others and what others use camels for in society. Here's what I've learned, that the bond between camel and mankind has been vital to human civilization. When you began to think especially in the Middle East and the Oriental countries, you cannot overestimate man's affinity and dependence on camels and their effectiveness. Literally, camels being used to build civilizations. Amen. It's a priceless creature. You take the camel out of mankind's history. And in certain cultures tonight, there are cities that would have never been had it not been for the utilization of the camel. And we think tonight of the Word of God in the history of mankind. I'm telling you, I don't think we can overestimate or overvalue or overstate, Brother Mike, the importance of God's Word in mankind's history, in the history of the human race, in the history of mankind's civilization across the world. There is no way we can put a value upon the pricelessness of the Word of God and its involvement in mankind's life. We think about our own nation, and I understand tonight, there's a lot about America that is wretched and rotten and corrupt and vile, and we preach against that and we can focus on that. But let me remind you on the other side of the coin that we have a nation that was founded upon the values and the morality and many of the doctrines that are declared and found in and only found in the Word of God. Amen. You take the Bible. Amen. You take the Bible out of America. Amen. And listen, it's still a nation full of pagan, half-dressed Indians running around as savages killing each other. Are y'all listening? Amen. I'm telling you, this book has built nations. Amen. The Bible has built nations. God's Word and God's truth have built kingdoms throughout the course of 6,000 years. It has been a priceless, my friend, a part of what mankind has esteemed and destined himself to be. An estimation of a man's wealth. You'll find there were times throughout human history, not so much today, and I'll deal with that even in a moment, but the estimation of a man's wealth was at one time measured, listen, by the number, the size, and the endurance of his camels. I can illustrate this from the Word of God. In Job chapter number 1, it says that Job was of the wealthiest men in the East. When he begins, Brother Riley, to list out part of what made him so valuable among his peers and among his culture is that he had a rather large herd of camels to his possession. Amen. And so a man who had many camels, and those camels were bred to be large in size and strength and had endurance, and that man would be measured as being a man of great wealth just by men looking upon the camels he had to his possession. The priceless value of the camel is seen then on a very personal level in a single person's life, a man by his connection to the camel. The priceless value of the camel is seen further on a personal level in Arabic poetry. In Arabic poetry, you'll find that they would celebrate, in the writing of their poetry, there'd be the celebrating of the faithful and unwavering, what they call the faithful and unwavering mount of their camels. And so if there was a camel that had stood out to them, if there was a camel that had been faithful to them in the storm and had brought them through the wilderness, had proven, my friend, to carry a good pace and bear up under the load and be a strong camel and mean something to them and maybe to their family, they would celebrate that camel by putting it out in poetry and just say, I want to tell everybody I can about what my camel means to me. Amen. I thought about that on a personal level. A word of God tonight. Amen. The word of God. You know, we ought to count those who have a relationship with this book as being very spiritually wealthy. And I have great spiritual value in our lives based upon not our relationship, how much money's in the bank, not an estimation of how long we've been a church member, based on our relationship to the Word of God, that it stands out and that, my friend, we have had enough relationship with that book every now and then to celebrate its work in our life, its faithful and unwavering mouth, all the storms it's brought us through, all the sandstorms that would have left us wiped out and isolated and dead in the wilderness. My friend, I'm telling you, I can celebrate tonight. Jose's a camel of the Word of God, a camel of truth, and has carried me and helped me and sustained me. And it's a priceless value in our life as children of God. What's that book mean to you? What does it mean to you? In our text verses, the psalmist said, my soul longeth. I'm longing for your word, your judgments at all times. Why? Because he had learned the value of the Word of God in his life, and it had become a priceless thing that it didn't matter how much money was in the bank. It didn't matter how many friends and family he had and had faithfully stood by his side. He had learned the Word of God and never let him down. He had learned the Word of God was something that would sustain him and help him and cause him to make it. And he valued that so much. And his soul had a longing to have that relationship to God's Word. You got any longing in your soul? What value do you place on this book being a part of your life? Amen. It's priceless. It's priceless. And there was a time that the camel was a very, very important part of civilization. In fact, until modern times, until the modern days we're living in, the camel was the backbone and central pillar of caravan trade and the economy of many nations. Today, the camel, this is what Britannica said, today the camel remains important in few local cultures, having been surpassed. Listen to this. I'm telling you, when I read this, the spiritual application, Brother Jack, it jumped off the page. It said it's still important in a few places, the camel, that is. It's still important in a few local cultures. But most of the world, my friend, has allowed the camel to be surpassed by automated forms of transportation. In other words, the camel's a little outdated. And the camel, you know, it's not as efficient as, amen, our drones and our cars and our trains and our planes and these other modes that we have to get around. And so we're going to go to these new forms and ways of getting to our destination. And just in a few local cultures, amen, there's some that are still hanging on to their camels. They still ride their camels. They still, amen, have connection to camels. They depend on them camels for milk and meat. They depend on those camels for their shelter and for their clothes. They depend on those shelter and those camels for their economy and their wealth and the value they find in their life. They depend on those camels to build their culture. Amen. Oh, do you see the spiritual significance tonight? And there's a generation that, amen, they say that Bible's just too outdated. That old King James Bible. And so what have they done? They've gone their little new perversions and their little NIVs and their little RSVs and all the other thousands of them now that have copyrighted and are making money off of, as though, my friend, the old blank book is outdated. My friend, I'm telling you, but there's still a few local cultures. Amen. There's still a few local churches. We're looked at as being old fuddy-duddies, old fundamentalists. But we refuse to give up our camel. You want to know why? Amen. Because I'm telling you, my friend, it's seen us through. It's built our lives. It has built our families. It's built our church. It has got us through the hard times. Why in the world when we want to look to government tonight and we have truth to build our life for? How would we want to look to the Red Cross and my friend to the Masonic Lodge and to Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey? They got nothing for us tonight. Our lives are built upon the Word of God, and we refuse to bow in and get in on something more automated. Amen. You can have an automated version of the Scripture all you want. I'm telling you, it'll never suffice. Amen. Ain't it amazing every revival that's ever been? Amen. In modern history, every revival that's ever been, it's always come through the old camel. Amen. You can't drone in a revival. Somebody help me preach. You can't drone in a revival. Amen. Elon Musk, he's a brilliant man. I mean, man, I think about some of the things he's doing. Amen. If we ain't careful, he's going to build a whole army of robots and take over the world. Amen. I seen him with a robot the other day kissing the thing on its robot mouth. I thought, none to God, this man's losing his mind. Them robots are walking around. And you know, and I understand technology and the benefit of all that, but the spiritual significance of what I'm preaching tonight. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, they have traded their camels for drones and robots and modern ways of doing things. We wonder why, amen, we wonder why people need more anxiety medication than they've ever needed before. We wonder why people are dying spiritually. We wonder why there's so much perversion. We wonder why there's no stability in people's lives anymore. Amen. And they sit around and they flounder and they waffle and they're double-minded. And my friend, with no spiritual wisdom or truth at all, live their lives by what? Because they don't understand the importance of the old camel in their life. Amen. It's a priceless creature. It's a persevering creature. It's a providing creature. It's a packing creature. But I want to say tonight, it's a pilgrimage creature. I've already referenced it some through these points, but more directly tonight, I want you to understand that its mobility and freedom offers safe travel over long distances across the harshest of conditions. Journeys and pilgrimages that if you had to foot it on your own, you'd never survive. Distances too long and great and unforeseen circumstances headed your way, and no doubt at the very least would slow you down, if not stop you, if not altogether wipe you out. If you have a camel, because a camel is a pilgrimage creature, it is designed to be a creature that and can carry you from one destination across a long desert and a long wilderness and get you safely to another destination. Amen. And somehow in them camels, amen, I see a camel, and it, I mean, other than, man, that's pretty massive. I've seen them over there in Sevierville offer. There's a time over there they used to offer camel rides in Pigeon Forge. I ain't ever done that. I don't know if I ever would. Maybe I will after preaching on this. Amen. I think you go up there, the Ark in Kentucky, don't they ride camels up there? I think it costs about $50 to take a lap, but I about do it after preaching this message. Amen. Oh, that camel, other than its size, I mean, you look at it, it kind of looks a little goofy. I mean, it ain't got no beauty to the eye. Are y'all listening? To the natural eye, you go with, eh? I mean, man, it kind of looks like a weird giraffe. I mean, a horse has a beauty to it, an admiration to it. And here's a camel to the natural eye. It just looks all kind of gangly and long legs and this big stumpy body and these humps and its neck that kind of goes down and back up. And you just look at it and there's not much appealing to that. You know, the natural eye, they ain't much appealing to the Word of God. But if you got to go from here to there, and in between there is a desert, what you got to understand, the way that thing is designed, it may not look beautiful to the natural eye, but it is absolutely built by God, amen, to get you from point A all the way to point B. And it doesn't matter what storm comes. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. It doesn't matter what drought seasons you got to go through. Amen. It ain't built necessarily for beauty to the human eye, but it's built for your survival. Hallelujah. I'm about to preach. I didn't know if I thought I'd just get up here and throw it out in about 20 minutes and we'd pray and go to the house. I'm telling you, that bunked in the natural eye, it ain't much, but I'm telling you what I've learned these days. Amen. And being saved and journeying from that day that, my friend, I bowed my knee and got saved by the grace of God, all the way from Canton, Michigan, 1996, September the 14th, all the way to glory. I'm telling you, I've been banking my life on that is not necessarily beautiful to the natural eye. A flesh does not look upon it with favor. What I found is that book you have in your hand, it is built for survival. It is built to sustain you. It is built to endure. It is a pilgrimage creature that will get you all the way home. Amen. That brings me to the first mention of camels in the Bible. It's found in the book of Genesis. Abraham is now old. His son Isaac, it's believed to be somewhere in his 30s. Some say 33 to 37 years old. I don't know how they figure all that. Hey, man, I may need to go and confirm that. I think maybe 37. But Abraham says to his servant, it's time to get my son Isaac a bride. And so Abraham's solution to that was to send his servant with all kinds of wealth and treasures and rings and jewelry and valuable things upon camels. And he would send his servant Eliezer, we believe he to be, down back into, amen, his homeland to find a bride for his son Isaac. You know the story. The servant makes the journey and comes to a well. And he's in the vicinity of where he's supposed to be to start trying to find a bride. How'd you like to be him trying to find a bride for a young man this woman has never seen? She's absolutely got to trust this man ain't some kind of psychopath. Amen. And she, my friend, listen, she ain't got a Facebook profile to look up. Amen. There ain't no swiping left or right, thumbs up, thumbs down. There's none of that. There's no dating app to go look at and go, let me check him out, see what his likes and dislikes are, see if we're compatible. She got to take him strictly at his word that they is even an Isaac and that everything he says about Isaac is exactly what Isaac is. You know the story, he's sitting there, he throws out the fleece to God and says, if this is where I'm supposed to find the bride for Abram's son, then you send a young woman down here and you put in her heart to ask me to water my camels. And all of a sudden here comes a young woman by the name of Rebecca. Rebecca shows up and the Spirit of God moves in her heart. And she asks his servant, can I water your camels? Do y'all know how much? Now he's got, if my memory serves me right, Brother Larry, he's got 10 camels. Do y'all know how much a camel can drink? 25 gallons apiece, like that. Now you do the math, that's somewhere, if she's got a 3-gallon or a 5-gallon pail to draw water out of, she's going to be making a lot of trips back and forth from the well to those camels. And yet she offers to do that. You know the story as he inquires about who she is, she finds that she absolutely qualifies as one of the ones that Abraham had sent her back to his own kindred. And she brings him back to her father and her brothers, and he began to talk, and you know the story. He tells them and her about this one Isaac. He shows them all the wealth. He tells them all the stories. He macks up on Mr. Isaac and makes him out to be this wonderful man. And then he asks the question, are you going to go? Are you going to let her go back to Isaac? They said, well, she's old enough to make up her own mind. They asked that wonderful question that's been preached to sinners many a times. Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I'll go. And so they feast that night and on the next morning, amen, listen, in that hour she's betrothed. In that hour she's as good as belongs to Isaac. But she's got to go all the way from where she is to where Isaac is. You know how she got there? Eliezer didn't make her walk. Eliezer didn't give her a map, say, figure it out the best way you can. Eliezer, the Bible said, set her upon one of them camels. Amen. And I don't know how long that journey was. I don't know how many days it was. My friend, she got to ride a camel all the way from where she had been found. All the way from the place she decided, I'll go with this man. There's a servant, Eliezer, who's a type of the Spirit of God, had set her on a camel, they type as we're preaching tonight, of the Word of God, and said, you can rest on him, and you can put on him all your load, and all your burden, and all your luggage, and all your baggage. You just put it on that camel, he can carry it over a long journey. And you say, well, how long did she ride the camel? As far as I can tell, she rode the camel all the way till her ass fell on Isaac. And the Bible said she lighted off her camel. Amen. Because now she's with Isaac, she don't need the camel no more. The camel has got her from point A to point B. When she arrived at her destination, my friend, it was that pilgrimage creature known as the camel that got her from where she used to live to where her forever home is going to be. How are we going to make it from where we got saved to where our forever home is? I'm telling you how. Amen. God's give us a pilgrimage book. Amen. And even in the text, did y'all notice this? Notice what he said. I'm telling you, Brother Mike, it's amazing how these letters and the symbols line up with what these sections of verses teach. Did y'all catch what the psalmist said, Brother Larry? He said, I am a stranger in the earth. Amen. That's pilgrim talk. But Tim, that's pilgrim talk. He's not at home. He's in a journey. He's not settled down. He ain't got brick and mortar. He ain't looking to build a house. He ain't looking to stay a while. He said, I am a stranger in the earth. Oh, friend, he knows he's a pilgrim. You know what pilgrims rode in them days? They rode camels. Amen. You know what they called them? Them camels. We're talking now about pilgrimage creatures. I'm done. Amen. We started late. We ain't even been an hour since we started. I got 3 minutes. You know what they call camels? Brother Bob, you'll like this. You know what they call camels over there in those Arabic countries? They call them ships in the desert. Ships in the desert. Because they're pilgrim creatures. Amen. Get on your ship in the desert. Just let it take you from point A to point B. I guess maybe I preached all that and I intended to kind of slow down and give it to you like we have. Didn't mean to take this much time. But the Word of God as a camel, if I was to give verses 17 through 24 as the Word of God is typified as a camel, I guess my title or my thought is a ship in the desert. I'm thankful tonight I've got something I can ride through the desert on. I'm thankful tonight I've got something that when I can't, it never wears out, it never gets weary. Thank God it's a pilgrim book tonight to ride our lives on from here to glory. Amen. They say that, I heard Brother Pace preach it years ago. Amen. Preaching about that camel. He said, that camel. Amen. That camel. Listen, when them sandstorms kick up, you've got to cover your face and you're kind of in the darkness. You can't see anything. And you've got to guard your eyes. And so you're in a storm that's already blinding, and then you have to kind of be blind by, amen, by these things that you've got to put on your eyes. But that camel, he's got these eyelids that flip down in that storm, and they've got a transparency to them. And that camel can see the way. Amen. All you got, listen, you just got to ride the camel. Amen. You're a stranger. You're in the earth. You don't know which way to go. Amen. The psalmist said, amen, your word, your testimonies. He ended in verse 24. He said, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. When I don't know which way to go, and I don't know, and I can't see the way, thank God I'm glad there's a camel in the Word of God. Amen, that I can trust to set the plan. Hey, my friend, order the steps. Hey, man, I'm just going to ride a ship in the desert. Child of God, don't get away from the Word of God. Anchor your life on it. Don't unsettle. Don't be unwavering. Don't get off. I'm watching folks jump away from the Word of God, and you'll die without the Word of God on your life. Amen. A ship in the desert. A ship in the desert. I don't know if that makes any sense. Does that feed you on a Wednesday night? I'm telling you, we're in a desert land, and it's getting harsher and harsher by the week. Amen. A sandstorm seemed like coming from every direction. So what are we going to do, preacher? We're going to do what we've always done. Just get on your ship in the desert. Watch it now. It's built. That camel is built, designed by God to make it through the desert. Amen. You don't need a zebra. You don't need a horse. You don't need an elephant. To get through the desert, you need a camel.
Amen.
And I'm telling you tonight, we got one.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you tonight for, Lord, the things you showed us. I know, Lord, there's a lot of, Lord, we reference the word of God in some ways through this introduction to this section. Lord, a lot of truths we want to get in, Lord, in these 8 verses. Lord, we'll do that next week, but I pray you take these thoughts we've thrown out tonight. Lord, taking this earthly illustration to make a spiritual truth. Lord, a parable of sorts, seen in the camel, being like the word of God. Lord, I pray in these days, help us, Lord, to cast our burdens upon it. Help us, Lord, to realize it has persevered through all sorts of cultures and times of humanity. Lord, even when the masses and the majority of humanity, even in the hour we're living, has rejected this book, Lord, we're thankful it still perseveres and holds up truth today. Lord, I pray that we'd find in it the provisions we need for our spiritual well-being. Lord, I pray this evening that we would count it to be of a great value, Lord, in our life. And Lord, though others have turned away, may, Lord, we cling to it. Lord, as we've looked at it tonight as a pilgrim book, Lord, a ship in the desert for us, Lord, to depend on to get us from here to our forever home. Lord, until we lay eyes upon our heavenly eyes, I pray, Lord, that we would be kept safe in this journey, Lord, by this word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Lord, we're pilgrims, we're strangers in this land. Lord, I'm glad that there's a pilgrim and a strange book, Lord, to this world that we can count on. And I pray this evening, Lord, we'd all leave here more in love and delighting in it, longing for it, Lord, than we were when we walked into this service tonight. Lord, we'll bless you for all that you do. Bless the church now, the remainder of this week. Lord, been a lot of ministry happen, Lord, on this property and other places outside of this property. Lord, already this week, Lord, we've tried to help. We've tried to involve ourselves. We've tried to witness. Lord, we've handed out gospel literature and tracts. Lord, I want to ask you, Lord, right now that, Lord, you'd empower all that seed that has gone out, all the displays of compassion and love that have been shown to people of our community. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, would you please, Lord, allow those seeds to be watered tonight and bring forth a harvest in days to come. Lord, I ask you this evening, Lord, the remainder of this week, would you help our church in the things that will be done? As we do it for the honor and the glory of God, I pray you'd empower us and make us effective. And Lord, through Jesus and for his sake, may we see success for the ministry that, Lord, you give to us. Lord, I pray over each and every one of these families, everything that they're going to do this week. Lord, would you bless them and be good to them, hear and answer prayers for them. Lord, when we gather back in here on the Lord's Day, I pray, Lord, we'd all be able, Lord, and eager and excited to celebrate what the Word of God has done for us and what the hand of our God has accomplished in our life. Lord, if you'd help us in those ways, we'd sure be eternally grateful. We ask it all tonight again in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.